Hello and welcome to this episode of What's Wellness Podcast, a place where I discuss the physical, energetic, mental, emotional, and spiritual components of wellness, as well as your healthy relationships with yourself, with one another, and with the planet. I'm your host, Alia, founder of Alia Yoga and Alia Yoga Academy teacher training and mentorship programs. And in today's episode, I share with you the inspiring story of a professional athlete who has married her love for her sport with fulfilling a need for proper nutrition to fuel and energize herself as well as others. Whether you're an athlete or not, we get into the details of her story, including how she recovered and got back out there after a terrible accident that occurred while she was competing. Her tenacity and determination really shines through, as well as the way she communicates how wellness has changed for her over time. It's a fine line between mindfulness with how you can take care of yourself physically, mentally, emotionally, energetically, and spiritually versus a tendency perhaps towards perfectionism, which is common and can cause more stress and more wellness challenges than that tendency alleviates. I shared a bit about my injury as a professional athlete and how brain injury awareness and protocols are really important in other sports than what we hear about in the mainstream, like with football. Jess has a spirit and a will that can be felt throughout the interview, and her passion really shines through with what she shares. I'm really looking forward to sharing with you the conversation portion of today's episode, but first, the wise words of the week, brought to you today from Pema Chodron, who says, "Nothing ever goes away until it has taught us what we need to learn." And one more today from an author not known. Maybe life isn't about avoiding the bruises. Maybe it's about collecting the scars to prove we showed up for it. I resonate with both of these quotes. The first one, because I have definitely experienced recurring lessons in life, or shall I say, I have had recurring experiences that point to certain lessons in life that for a long time I wasn't willing to face head on, and finally dug in and did the work and learned the challenging but important lessons. And the second quote resonates with me because being what many would call small or a petite person, I'm 5 feet tall, I used to feel very fragile and delicate being so little, and my body couldn't handle much, or so I thought. Once I started pushing myself and finding out what I was really made of, I realized that I'm a lot stronger, both physically and emotionally, even mentally, than I gave myself credit for. I have a ton of resilience and determination, just like my guest today, and she and I both have the scars to prove it. Great quotes this week, if I do say so myself, and no new reviews in the iTunes podcast app, so there's no warm words of the week again this week, but I do have a brief word for you about Anchor, and in a moment I'll be back with Jess Sarah from Jojay Bar. Welcome once again, and thank you so much for staying tuned. Welcome back, everyone. Thank you so much for being here today, tuning into What's Wellness Podcast. And I'm really excited for today's special guest, Jess Sarah from Jojay Bar. Jess, welcome to the show.
Hi. Thank you so much for having me.
I'm so glad you're here and that we're able to connect in this way. And my first question is always, what's wellness look and feel like for you today?
I think wellness used to have a different definition to me. It used to be all about pushing myself for balance every single day in my life between time for myself, physical activity, nutrition, mental wellness. And I used to be really hard on myself trying to strike that balance every day. And then it's really evolved. And what it is to me now is more about self-acceptance and forgiveness and knowing that my intentions are there to be a well-rounded person and to take care of all of my endeavors and myself, but it doesn't have to happen perfectly every day. If I commit to bringing it all together so the week looks more balanced, that is when I feel at peace and that's when I feel my best and my most well.
Oh, wow. I really love that perspective because it kind of softens the edges of, you know, this go, 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 be perfect, work hard type of lifestyle and brings some more, like you're saying, balance to it.
Yeah. And I live that lifestyle. Honestly, I wear a lot of hats and I have a lot of things going on and, you know, I'm a perfectionist and I put a lot of pressure on myself, but I was crumbling under the pressure when I was trying to achieve perfection every single day. And then realizing that I was defining perfection and that I actually could control loosening that definition a little bit.
That's a really powerful awareness to realize that you kind of define for yourself what perfection is, and then you can redefine it at any time.
Yeah, it's really an empowering moment as, you know, you mature as a person, and I'm an athlete and a business owner, and it's just all about learning and learning more about accepting yourself. And, you know, you're a busy gal, you have a lot going on, and you're also an athlete, what I would consider an athlete, something mm-hmm. that I could never do, but I enjoy watching what you do.
Oh, thank you. Well, I'd love to hear more about this story of where you came from and all of the hats that you wear.
So I grew up in Whitefish, Montana, which is a tiny little town up in the mountains outside of Glacier National Park. And I'm really grateful to grow up in an environment like that. I grew up on a, you know, 40 acres in a log cabin with no phone. And just appreciation for the outdoors and for recreation. And definitely it led me to my career path. I went to the University of Montana for undergrad and I studied exercise physiology. I moved to San Diego to pursue a master's degree in exercise physiology. And my intention really was to complete a PhD program at the end of all of this. But I made a pivot in grad school when I discovered that I had a natural talent on the bicycle. And I started racing mountain bikes and became obsessed with that path and decided to pursue it professionally. During this time, I also made a pivot in my professional life. I opened my own private chef and catering service with no formal culinary training or background, just a love for food and sharing healthy food with people and athletes specifically. So the two career paths sort of collided and supported each other. And that's basically how I got my start as a business owner and how I created my energy bar, JoJ Bar. It was a combination of my knowledge of food and cooking, and then also my personal experience with competition and fueling at an elite level. So Those are the cliff notes of my story.
I love it. That's amazing. Way to make it concise to the point, but also share, you know, the important details. But I imagine there was more going on for you personally from the standpoint of wellness, be it physical, mental, emotional, energetic, even spiritual. What were you going through when you transitioned into being a professional athlete and doing all of this cooking for other people and making these bars?
Yeah, that's a really good question, because the sport of cycling is a really tough sport. It is extremely competitive. It is very hard for women to hold a position on a professional team. There are salary discrepancies between men and women. And so there's an element of stress in that, but it's also a sport that teaches you not to feel anything. You have to just be sort of, we call it a watt robot, and watts are basically how you measure the amount of power and output you can put on your bicycle. And you use that as a metric for training. You use that as a metric with your coaching, and you just become this person that has to perform. If you crash in a race and you rip half of your cycling clothing off and you're bleeding, you get back on your bike and you finish the race. And so there's sort of a disconnect when it comes to, you go into a sport because you love athletics, you love exercise and the feeling and the joy of riding a bicycle and being outside. But then you're kind of taught to turn off all of that to be good at competition. So there was parts of cycling that I really loved and I connected with. And there was other parts that I felt like were really unhealthy at times. And that's where I talk about maturity of reining it in and recognizing what I need for myself. And with the balance of being a chef and a caterer on the side, you spend so much time on your feet running around. You feel guilty if you take any downtime, if you tell yourself, like, I just want to lay in bed on a rainy day and watch a movie. That seems extremely wrong when you're trying to balance those two things. And so I think it was, for me, really a learning process that if I couldn't take time for meditation or getting to a yoga class or doing something that I really felt like grounded me and provided that portion of wellness, I learned ways to adapt. So for example, riding my bike in the mountains where there's no cars and turning off my phone, not listening to music, maybe just listening to the birds and my own breath while I'm riding. And I was able to just find ways to sort of center myself in those activities that were sometimes back-to-back 15 or 18-hour long days.
Wow. That takes a lot of focus and concentration and also inner awareness to be able to develop those techniques for yourself.
Well, you realize that it's not sustainable if you kind of keep going. And you'll hear this a lot in the world of chefs, the lifestyle that they live. And I don't even work in a restaurant environment. So it's really interesting how sport and the bicycle has been that outlet and that conduit for inner peace for me. If I need to relieve stress, or if I'm having a bad day, or if I want to cry, if I get on my bike and go out, usually there's a friend that I can go with. And if there's not, it's just time outside, fresh air, maybe some sweat dripping down from your forehead. It's just like a release that is really powerful.
Yeah, exercise can be so therapeutic, and I definitely have experienced that throughout my career as an athlete as well. And I'm wondering if this has ever happened to you, and I have this faint memory as if it perhaps has, where you've actually fallen down and not only ripped your gear, but skin off of your body and had to get back up and not only keep going, but come back to yoga, come back to your practices for wellness and self-care. What was that like for you?
Yeah, and I think you nailed it. So for the listeners, I was taking Alia's yoga class, I think back in, it must have been 2016. Mm-hmm. And that's how I first got to know you and really involved in road racing at that time. And I went to a road race, a stage race in New Mexico, and there was a huge crash, a pileup of 60 riders. And I was sort of on the bottom of that pileup, and we were also going almost 40 miles an hour. So as we slid across the road, I was smashed into a concrete wall on a bridge, and that wall had rebar in it. It impaled my legs, both of my legs. It broke my left leg in two spots. It shattered my wrist and my arm and my hand, and I was severely concussed. It took many, many surgeries and tons of therapy to get back. But it's interesting that when you're going through rehab, a lot of little movements that you do in yoga are naturally part of rehab programs. And it's something that I've always used to help bring me back. And to be completely honest with you, I used to take yoga classes to sweat and to burn calories and to enhance my cycling fitness. But when you have an injury like this and your life stops, as cliche as it sounds, it helps you grow as a person. And all of a sudden you learn that these things you were doing before, they don't have to be about doing the best downward dog, that they can be about other things, right? And so yoga was always like my path and like a way to get back into strength and just to have time for myself to reflect and to think like, why is this important to me? You know, sometimes you hit your mat and your brain's going a million miles an hour, and then you leave a class thinking something completely different in a completely different spot, and not because you plan to, but because of the energy that's in the room at the time. And I always found that to be something that I craved going back to, and it really helped, and it supplemented my rehab, and it's something you can do anywhere. You can always bring a yoga mat with you. And if you don't have one, you can use a towel and you just kind of take that moment. If you're in Europe and you're away from your family and you're racing and it's raining and it's scary, like you can take that moment for yourself in your hotel room and it's familiar. So that's hopefully answered your question.
Yeah, it really did. And that's so powerful and so beautiful. And what an incredible story to have gone through such a terrible accident and then to come out of it, having learned, it sounds like, some very powerful, profound lessons that brought you home to yourself.
Yeah, it's actually really interesting that you say that, because I've had a few crashes and a few surgeries, and it's really hard to stay positive, and it's really hard to not be constantly thinking about what everyone else is doing and what you're missing out on, and obsess over everyone's racing and they're so fit, and really pull yourself in a downward spiral. But for this specific incident, I felt like I had this positive ball of energy around me the whole time. And I don't know if it was because, like I said, I had evolved to the point where I knew how to take care of myself better, or if I was more mature, but it made the recovery from this, which was months, and I didn't even walk for 3 months. I had a walker, I had crutches, then I had a walker, and I had a knee scooter. And I just never felt upset. I never felt bad for myself. I just had a clear course and I knew that it would be okay. It was painful. It was really painful. I didn't know if I would ever race again because I was scared of feeling that sort of pain and having to go through those amount of surgeries again. But right. I think that's the thing about the athlete brain is you give up a million times in your head when you're competing and when you're hurting. And it's somehow we forget that, whether it's 5 minutes after or an hour after or a month later, you're like, I guess it wasn't that bad. I'll do it again.
I totally can relate. When I was concussed at World Championships contest in Hawaii and just thought, oh, I have a headache, it's fine, and next day was right back out there. And it wasn't until I got on an airplane and was like, I think I'm about to die. My head was
Yeah. Isn't that crazy how we can do that?
And I realized that, oh my goodness, like, why did I keep surfing?
So that's interesting. You bring up a really interesting point, because I have never thought about surfing as a sport where concussions are a factor, but clearly they are. So what is the protocol for that? If you crash and you break your helmet open in cycling, like, you're done,
yeah.
You know, obviously you've hit your head so hard, but what do you do when you're surfing? You have to self-diagnose.
It was a very interesting experience that I had, because we were done surfing competitively for the day and we were just warm enough to go out there and keep surfing for fun. So luckily it wasn't in the middle of a contest, but we weren't, you know, done for the championships. And my teammate said, he could tell my bell was rung. He said, I could tell that something was wrong. He goes, get up on the beach, get out of the water. And I just kind of stared at him blankly. But it was very strange, because I thought I was fine. And my boyfriend, who's now my husband, my boyfriend at the time was like, I think you're concussed. You're not able to formulate sentences normal. And I was really tired. And my teammate went and took a nap and said, maybe you should take a nap. And my boyfriend, who's now my husband, said, you should not take a nap.
Yeah.
So I went and I got like a double shot of espresso and I just laid there with my headache. And next day I kept surfing. And the day after that, it was like not diagnosed until I got home and had it looked at by a doctor.
Wow. That is, I mean, the parallels to cycling are, and obviously a concussion is a concussion,
right?
But I feel like there's just, maybe because I'm more naive about surfing, and you call it tandem surfing, right?
Yeah. So I got hit by my teammate on my way down, hit in the head with his elbow.
Yeah. I can see how that might, like,
ouch.
Yeah, that would be, oh, well, maybe there's some awareness that still needs to be raised with surfing. I don't know.
Well, and I think that that's important, and especially from the recovery standpoint, I'd love to hear about your recovery from the traumatic brain injury aspect that you suffered. Because for me, even now, I have some challenges with word retrieval and memory, and it's been 5+ years.
Well, when you smash your body in half, you're forced to stop. Mm-hmm. I spent a week in the hospital and the next 2 weeks in bed, and that helped my head heal. But I have been in scenarios, and I've had teammates who've crashed and been unconscious and then will race the next day because they haven't broken a bone or there's nothing to stop you from doing it. And so it's really, it's almost easier when you have a severe injury that stops you versus when you sort of feel fine and your body can still perform. So for me, the 2 times that I've had a concussion from cycling, I've also had broken bones and surgeries.
Mm.
But I can tell you that both of the concussions were very different. And the first one was a scenario where I didn't work for 2 weeks and I basically stayed in a dark room. And I just kind of started to know when I felt better. But I've seen very scary scenarios where the symptoms come and go, like maybe what you have experienced, where you maybe won't notice it. And then something like word retrieval will come up, and they're so tricky. For cycling, most teams require that you do a concussion baseline analysis with a physician in the beginning of the year. And it's pretty much like a cognitive test, and they're hard. Like when you're not concussed, they're hard. You have to remember the like patterns and numbers, and but at least it gives you a baseline. So yeah, I can give you a referral offline for a doctor in our area that works with athletes and does that if you're interested.
Wow, totally. Yeah, I'd love to. I wish I had done that, you know, years ago to know my true baseline. But yeah, I'm fascinated by that. And ultimately, correct me if I'm wrong, but you won the Xterra Amateur National Championship. And that was back in 2010. But you kept racing even after you've recovered from all of these injuries and accidents.
Yeah, that was sort of, that was big for me, that race, that win, that kind of catapulted me into professional status. And I went full tilt after that, really. And so that
That's
was
amazing.
Yeah, it's like when you kind of show up on the day and you surprise yourself or it all comes together on a day, you know how hard that can be. It takes so many different variables to turn out right. And but when you do have a day like that and a result like that, you carry that confidence with you for a long time. So my career turned into more of a supporting role after I stopped racing Xterra, which is off-road triathlon. I raced mountain bikes for a couple of years, and then I switched into the world of road racing, which is a team sport. And if you were to watch a race like the Tour de France on TV, it would seem incredibly boring and confusing. But when you understand all of the tactics and the different jerseys and prizes up for grabs, so to speak, it becomes a really fascinating puzzle. And because it's a team sport, you normally only in the media, you only see that person that wins the races, but behind that, there's a lot of things going on. And so I became more of like a team captain where I would call the shots and help make decisions while we were racing so we could get that result as a team. And I sort of just, this is in reference to your question about having all these injuries and continuing on, my body just isn't the same as it was. And I'm also 38 now. So at some point you have to realize like, it's okay to dial it back. And now I can lend my experience in a different way. Like being efficient and sneaky is also important. You don't have to be the strongest or the fastest rider all the time. And you can definitely teach younger teammates, like, here's how you always stay out of the wind, so you're never tired when it comes time to sprint for the line. So there's little things. And I sort of focused my energy on that in the last part of my road racing career. And I called it an evolvement at the end of 2019, not a retirement, because I've transitioned to racing a new discipline that's growing, which is gravel cycling. And it's sort of a hybrid of mountain biking and road cycling. So that's what I'm focusing on now when it's safe to race again.
Wow. Okay. So professional gravel racer.
Yes.
That's so cool. And I've never heard of that.
Yeah. It's just this crazy discipline that people are drawn to it because you can get off-road, but it's not as technical as mountain biking. And then you don't have to ride on road either with traffic and cars. And it's currently it's an unsanctioned sport, which means you don't have to earn a license. You can line up next to a professional rider who just came from the Tour de France and wants to do a gravel race somewhere. And you could literally have done zero races in your life and still have that experience. So it's bringing an acceptance and like an inclusion factor to cycling. Cycling has always been very exclusive and sort of pretentious sport. And it's kind of breaking that barrier away. It's breaking the barrier of entry away. And so it's becoming so popular. And there's the spirit that comes with it of community, of adventure. And so people are drawn to it. In fact, my boyfriend, Sam, and I, we are moving to Montana next year where I grew up. And we're actually hosting, or we're moving this year. We're now in 2021. It's hard to accept that right now, but we are. We're moving this year and we're hosting our own event at the end of August if it's safe to do so. And if not, we'll move it to 2022. But Yeah.
Congratulations. That sounds really exciting.
Thank you.
Yeah. So would you tell us a little bit about Fit Food by Jess and a little more about your Joje bars?
So Fit Food by Jess was the name that I created for my private chef and catering company. And I started with just two clients that I worked in their homes every week. And I grew that to about six clients. And as I transitioned to racing a lot more, I stopped working in clients' homes and focused on parties and triathlon camps and cycling camps. And I found a niche doing that because it's such a hub here in San Diego for cycling and triathlon. Like, you can't even get in your car and drive somewhere without seeing a cyclist, right? People live here to do it. It's beautiful. So I found that niche for myself, and I ended up working for Triathlete Magazine and Women's Running Magazine for many years, doing projects for them. I worked for a large bike company for many years, catering all of their sort of bike launches and team camps and whatnot. And I also wrote for those publications in their nutrition column for many, many years. And during that time, as I mentioned, I really was sort of honing in, knowing what I needed as an athlete. So there's a difference between learning it in the books and then actually competing and understanding fueling and nutrition as an elite level athlete. And I realized that it seemed like delicious energy food and energy food that worked was mutually exclusive. And I thought, that doesn't need to be the case. I mean, we know now, because we're in a food revolution, that real food is the best thing. And there's all of these crazy, amazing real food companies. I mean, energy bars, cookies, chocolate, chips, you can find anything, right? But when I started creating Joje Bar, there was only a handful of energy bars. And so my idea was just create a real food bar, try to make it taste like a cookie, which is my absolute favorite thing to eat on the bike, and incorporate ingredients that are unique. Like, we have a flavor called lemon blueberry quinoa, and we use fresh lemon puree from a family-owned farm in Orange County. So they deliver that to us in buckets from their lemons on their trees. And people always say, where do you get that lemon flavor in your bars? And they said, it's not flavor, it's actual lemon puree. So just little tiny things that make them stand out. So that was kind of how Joje was created in my home kitchen as a project for myself. And then kind of everyone wanted to eat them and buy them. And I was cooking these bars, baking these bars until 2 a.m. And so I decided to ask some of my private chef clients actually for help and advice. They had experience in the food world. They were part owners of a food company, and they introduced me to a co-packing facility, which is basically a manufacturer that you teach your recipe to, and they have all of the equipment there to do everything.
So that brilliant.
It's totally brilliant. And that was the step that helped us grow. And before I knew it, we were able to get into REI, which is a retailer that I'm incredibly proud to be a part of. They set the bar, in my opinion, for environmental and social responsibility. And so we're growing. We're still a relatively small brand, but we're definitely growing.
That's outstanding. I'm so proud of you and happy for you. And I see that all of the bars are gluten-free, and I've looked at the ingredients, and they just sound so yummy, and they look so clean. And it's just, we need more of that.
I love your enthusiasm. I could not agree more. It is so disappointing when you buy something and you're like, oh, this is not taste good. Or, then you find that one ingredient that you're like, wait a minute.
Exactly. The white chocolate coconut blondie just sounds delicious. Espresso chocolate almond. peanut butter chocolate chip. I mean, they sound like cookies.
Exactly. I mean, who doesn't want
and
it
in bed? There's pancakes and bacon. Tell us about that one.
So that one is actually plant-based, and it's a tricky one. That one took so many rounds of testing because we use real pure maple syrup, and that can be tricky to bake with because of the amount of moisture that's in it. And moisture is good for a taste perspective, but we have to keep them shelf stable. The shelf life is only 9 months, so it's short for a packaged food, but it also shows like these are real food. And so yeah, we just use maple syrup, and then we have a custom smoke flavor made for us. So it's like liquid smoke, but sort of dubbed down a little bit because that flavor can be overwhelmingly strong. So there's not actually bacon in it. But it's really unique, and it has that little bit of a savory element that sometimes is nice, because if you spend a lot of time, and this is another point, cycling is funny in the sense that we actually pay money to put a lot of sugar and salt into our bodies, which most people are trying to avoid those things. And so,
right. But you need but it you for need energy, it. For fuel.
Yeah. You need that quick sugar, you know, but sometimes it's nice to have something that's not just cloyingly sweet all the time when you're on the bike. So that was the idea for that flavor.
I love that. And that it's plant-based. That's, I mean, I just think it's brilliant.
Thanks.
So Jess, how do people get in touch with you? How do they order your Joje bars? And tell us all of the details, how we can stay connected.
So for me personally, my Instagram is at Jess Sarah, JessSerra. Facebook's Jess Sarah. And for Joje, our Instagram is at Joje Bar. And the same with Facebook, it's Joje Bars. If anybody is a gravel cycling enthusiast, you can look at our race. It's called The Last Best Ride. And our Instagram is at The Last Best Ride. You can find Joje Bar on our website, www.jojebar.com, and you can use the code TRYJOJE15 for 15% off your first order. And we are in REI nationwide, as I mentioned, and we're also on Amazon. And I know that Amazon gets a hard rap for taking business away from small companies, but for us, if you live in a city or an area where there isn't an REI or you can't find Joje Bar, it is a way to support us. So I just want to throw that tidbit out there.
I love that. Thanks for sharing that, because I wonder, you know, is it helping or hurting in the long run for small businesses? So I'm glad to know that Amazon is helping to support your business grow. And so I'll link all of that information in the show notes for everyone. But if you're keen to go check out the website or the Instagram right now, you spell Joje Bar, J-O-J-E.
Yes.
Yay. Awesome. So Jess, I just love hearing your story. You've really poured your soul into all of these creations, from how you cook for people and families to these Joje bars to really fuel athletes and everyday people, but with real food, and it tastes great. So thank you for what you're doing and for sharing your story with us today.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me, and I hope to see you around town at some point.
Well, I'd love to, especially before you move back to Montana. And if there's anything else that you'd like to share with us, we'd love to hear. And I also would love to know what's something that you're grateful for today.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if I have anything else to share, but I am grateful for everybody that has stuck with me and supported me through all of my endeavors. As you can imagine through my story today, as they say, it takes a village. And in my case, that has been so, so true for me. So I feel, not just today, but every day, I feel really grateful for the community of people that I have around me.
That's so beautiful. Thank you so much for sharing and for your time here today. It's been truly an honor to have you as a guest on the show.
Thank you so much, Alia.
If only I had known that I was badly concussed and that it was dangerous and unhealthy for me to keep surfing or get on an airplane, I would have made a different decision. I'm so glad that even though I have some lasting challenges from that injury, nothing worse happened. And I'm blown away by Jess's story and her ability to remain committed to her sport and her passion for riding. The scars she has, physically and emotionally, are the reminders that she showed up, gave it 110%, followed her passion, and when she got knocked down, she rehabbed so she could keep going. I love the way Jess's story evolves and her pivot to a supportive role at this point in her career, and how she inspires others to press on and push that bike pedal one stroke at a time to keep moving forward. It's truly amazing and incredible to hear Jess's story, and I really appreciate you, Jess, for coming on the show and sharing with us not only what you've been through, but also how supportive you are helping others. I think it's so epic and awesome that you are passionate about food and nutrition as well. I love that you have made your passions into your purpose. I want to share briefly about something that Jess and I didn't get to talk about in our interview, but I asked about later on, and that's something called Chef's Cycle. And Jess is a part of this Chef's Cycle, which is a specific fundraising partnership with No Kid Hungry. Chefs from around the country fundraise as they pledge to ride 100 miles per day for 3 days straight. Many chefs have used their restaurants to fundraise in the past. COVID has really changed this platform, Jess said. In 2020, she was co-captain for an all-women's team where they were set to raise around $80,000. Then COVID hit hard, which is so tragic for restaurants, chefs, and other employees who work in that industry. In 2021, however, Chef's Cycle will be virtual, which is happening on May 21st, and fundraising will be optional. With that, as always, links to get in touch with Jess or myself, as well as other pertinent information, are available for easy navigation in the show notes below. And if you have any questions, comments, suggestions, or feedback, or if you need support, please reach out. My email is alia@aliayoga.com, spelled A-H-L-I-A. Also, if something stood out to you from today's episode, do me a huge favor. Take a screenshot right now. Share it on your social media. Tag @AliaYoga, @What's Wellness Podcast. Two more coming. @JessSerrah, JessSerra. And @JoJBar, spelled JoJe. Tag all of these on Instagram and we'll be sure to reshare. I'd love to hear from you via Instagram or email about what you're loving from What's Wellness Podcast and what you want more of, as well as what you're not loving so much and would like less of for season 3. For those who are tuning in within driving distance to Encinitas and Carlsbad and are interested in joining the next small group outdoor in-person Vinyasa Yoga Flow, please send me a message. This class is accessible for all levels and pre-registration is required. I also offer a weekly online live virtual vinyasa yoga class, and it's called Sunshine Yoga with Alia. It's held every Wednesday afternoon at 4:30 Pacific Standard Time. For those of you tuning in right now who come to those classes online and or in person, y'all are the best. I'm sending you so much love. You have so much of my appreciation and gratitude. If I can ask you another big favor, please subscribe to this podcast if you haven't already. Share it with your friends and family. Please help to spread the word about What's Wellness and leave a review in the iTunes podcast store so that I can bring back the warm words of the week and read your review on air. As a way of saying thanks, I'll send you a discount code to access a free full-length yoga class video from my website rather than the $15 purchase price. If you enjoy online yoga classes, home workouts, and guided meditations, or if you'd like to learn more about me, please go to my website, which is aliyayoga.com. I have a shop on the site with those full-length yoga class recordings for $15, which gets you unlimited use, unless you leave a review, in which case you'll get to access one for free. I also have CBD pain relief roll-on gel and tinctures for sale, Soleil water kits, essential oil roll-ons, and much more. I have some incredible people learning online with Aliyah Yoga Academy teacher training right now, and I want to send a shout out to them or to anyone who has studied with me online or in person. Leading teacher trainings and sharing my curriculum is one of the most fulfilling opportunities that I get to connect with and participate in the evolution and growth of individuals, and I'm incredibly passionate about and grateful for these opportunities to guide and to facilitate such growth. If you've gone through my YTT program or are currently, thank you for allowing me to be a part of your journey. And if you'd like to learn more about it, please send me a note. With all of that, thank you once again for tuning in to What's Wellness Today, and I'll be back next week on Thursday with another brand new episode for you. Until next time, be well.